The case that mystified Elliot Ness and everyone else carrying a badge at that time is the subject of a new documentary called The 14th Victim, Elliot Ness and the Torso Murders.
A legend grew out of the case that Elliot Ness really knew who did it, but was unable to prove it. Because there was no evidence, he had to let this man go.
It is tragic that Elliot Ness died at the age of only 54. What took its toll on his heart, we don't know.
What happens to an American hero when he faces a failure?
That whole series of incidents could take its toll on an individual, whether they're successful or not successful.
The 14th Victim is the brainchild of independent TV producer Mark Stone, and he's with me in Studio B this morning. Mark, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for the invitation.
The title is intriguing. The Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run, as I recall, had 13 victims. Do you want to clue us in on what you mean about number 14?
Well, we never quite say it explicitly in the documentary, but it's clear that Elliot took most of the heat. And in many ways, he was a victim. He certainly made his own choices, but taking on work here in Cleveland was really rather a no-win situation for him. If he came to Cleveland to clean up this town, make it safer, he really was going to have a tough time succeeding. But if he succeeded, he almost works himself out of a job. If he fails, he's a failure.
What's left to police if you right? Give us some idea of the approach you decided to take on this. Did you do some investigating on your own? Because there have been several authors who've tackled the subject before. Did you want to come up with your own conclusion about what happened?
Well, the approach we took was just to talk to the experts around the nation. Fortunately for us, most of them are here in Cleveland. Paul Heimel, his biographer, is out in Pennsylvania, so we went to visit him as well. But we are letting the experts tell the story, and we're telling it kind of chronologically, and we're telling it as parallel stories. It's really two stories until Ness is asked to become far more involved, because it was just creating a mess here in town. The town of Cleveland was trying to upgrade its image nationally. It was the most dangerous city in America. And so Elliot had to jump in, and that's where the stories converge, and really turns into a rather desperate time for Elliot.
You know, there were some theorists who looked at this and said that they felt that the Mad Butcher might have actually been several different people and that there were copycats involved. What do you think of that?
I think that they didn't know what a serial killer was in the 30s, and so they really had no idea of what was going on. Certainly, the method of killing people, which was basically decapitation, their hearts were still pumping when their heads were removed, pretty terrifying thought. So I don't think they really knew what to do. And the way he cut these people up is pretty much the same way each time. There were no hesitation marks with a knife. It was a surgeon type approach, and he knew where to cut.
The very nature of, you know, what we've just been talking about points out the fact that this is a pretty gruesome subject. Those who've read Jim Bedell's book have seen pretty gruesome photographs associated with the case. How are you going to handle that material?
It's not easy. I guess if you tune into the nightly news, you see all sorts of grisly stuff that happens. The nature of the photographs, they're black and white, so that kind of separates us a little bit in time from it. But they are what they are, and we don't intend to linger on anything too terribly gruesome, but we want people to know what was going on here, and the best way to explain it is with photographs.
What kind of opinion did you form of Elliot Ness as you worked on this thing?
I thought he was one of the most interesting characters I've come across. He was a total contradiction in terms. He was the prohibition agent who drank. He was the straight arrow who liked to party and dance. But he was also a tragic figure. It's to me, it was nothing less than Greek tragedy. He's Icarus. He flew too close to the sun, and his wings melted, and he fell to earth.
Mark, is there any projection yet on when we and where we might be able to see this?
We are still negotiating a few things, actually on a national level as well. A couple of nibbles out there. We expect to have it completed in mid-May, but we're going to premiere or sneak preview of some of it next Saturday at Great Lakes Brewing, where we're having a Elliot Ness birthday bash.
Oh, fun.
And tickets available at the door.
Do you think that, just as we wrap things up here, do you think that Cleveland has absorbed any of Elliot Ness within it? I mean, he was really here for such a long time. What do you think he's come to mean in terms of the city's history?
Well, it's like the forest for the trees. He had such a profound effect in modernizing this city, city's police and fire, that he's everywhere and he's nowhere. You can't see it just by looking at an individual thing. But he brought a 100-year-old police department out of the 19th century and into the 20th century, and left us with a much, much safer city, and was successful at both of the things that he was brought here to do, which was to clean up the city and then later asked to stop the Torso murders. It turns out this terrible act that he did of burning the shantytown is what ended the murders.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about this today.
My pleasure.
The title of the documentary is The 14th Victim, Elliot Ness and the Torso Murders. Its creator is Cleveland TV producer Mark Stone.